Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the Stimulating Program Initiative for Retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Director of Community Programs for the Orthodox Union and coordinator and host for SPIRIT. The OU created SPIRIT several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, baby boomers, empty nesters, sandwich generation parents, and seniors. Everyone who is looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Now, during the pandemic, SPIRIT has become the perfect way for everyone to engage safely in a virtual setting. The SPIRIT program has created a wonderful relationship with the education outreach efforts of Weill Cornell Medicine from New York Presbyterian Hospital of Queens. We have appreciated their assistance in connecting us with so many of their experts on various health matters that affect our SPIRIT demographic. Today's program is an introduction to rheumatoid arthritis and will address causes and symptoms, health impacts, and diagnosis and treatments. We are so honored to welcome Dr. Mohit Shukla, MD, attending rheumatologist of New York Presbyterian Medical Group of Queens. It is my pleasure and privilege to turn the SPIRIT forum over to Dr. Shukla. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you, Judy, for the introduction. And it's a real pleasure to host this talk regarding the rheumatoid arthritis. My name is, as I said, Mohit Shukla. I'm one of the attending rheumatologists with New York Presbyterian Queens Medical Group. And just to give a little bit introduction, what we do. So we do treat autoimmune diseases, and most of them include mostly rheumatoid arthritis, but the other diseases which we deal with include lupus, gout, pseudogout, psoriatic arthritis, osteoarthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, vasculitis, and many more. But out of all these diseases, the majority of the diseases, which we deal with is rheumatoid arthritis. So the title of the talk is Introduction of the Rheumatoid Arthritis. My learning objectives for this talk include discussing the various causes and symptoms for rheumatoid arthritis, health impacts of rheumatoid arthritis, and discussing about the treatment and management to prevent rheumatoid arthritis and further damage caused by rheumatoid arthritis. So most of you might have heard the common terminology arthritis. So I wanted to further develop on what arthritis means. So arthritis is a generic word for cartilage degeneration. Now there are various types of arthritis. The big ones which I will discuss with you is rheumatoid arthritis, but the other ones, mainly the osteoarthritis, which is the majority of the arthritis in the United States. It's a non-inflammatory wear and tear arthritis or degenerative arthritis. And inflammatory arthritis further classified into rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, gout, and many others. There is a type of arthritis which also happen in children, which we will not talk about because of the scope of the talk. So to further discuss how osteoarthritis affects the joint or how rheumatoid arthritis affects the joints, what are the various differences? So on the picture, I wanted to discuss, show you first how a normal joint looks like. So a joint is defined where the two long bones meet each other. So there is this one bone and the other bone joining. And there is a cartilage in between at the surfaces of the two bones. And the blue colored fluid is a normal joint fluid, or we call it synovial fluid. And it has a nice cartilage between the joints that act as a cushion, and it is surrounded by ligaments or supporting structures. Now, pathophysiology for osteoarthritis or wear and tear arthritis. So you can see the joint surface is very rough. That's because of the wear and tear. And you can see the involvement of the cartilage damage is asymmetric. So on the picture on the right side, you see the bone surfaces almost touching each other, which we call bone on bone. There is no more cartilage left. There's a minimal fluid. Whereas on the left side of the joint, you still have some space left and there is some cartilage. So that's classic feature for osteoarthritis or degenerative arthritis. Now, shifting gears to rheumatoid arthritis. So rheumatoid arthritis, it's an inflammatory arthritis. So where this is a picture depicting an advanced case of rheumatoid arthritis, you do not see the joint space at all. There's no more cartilage left. And both the compartment on the right and left side have equal involvement. And on the red portion you see highlighted is inflammation produced by inflammatory cells causing almost a bone fusion. There is no more joint left. So talking about the prevalence of rheumatoid arthritis, so almost 1% of United States population has rheumatoid arthritis. As per CDC, the data shows almost 1.5 million people in the United States have rheumatoid arthritis. And the prevalence does increase with age, and it's more prevalent in females, almost three times more common in females. The diagnosis in females is early. So between 30 to 60 years, most of the females get diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And after 45 years, the risk of rheumatoid arthritis in both males and females is almost the same. It's a major cause, arthritis has been a major cause of disability. So it does play a big role in causing disability. It's the third most common after back or neck pain and problem, depression, anxiety, emotional problem in causing disability in patients of working age between 18 to 64 years of age. Now, what causes rheumatoid arthritis? So as I mentioned, it's an autoimmune disease where your immune system fails to recognize your own joints and it starts attacking them. There are multiple studies to determine what are the various causes which lead to rheumatoid arthritis. And talking about genetics, so that the genetics play a role in rheumatoid arthritis. There is mostly a family history or close relative who has rheumatoid arthritis, so there is a risk. A genetic marker called HLA-D4 has been found to be seen in patients who have a genetically associated rheumatoid arthritis. And more than 100 genes have been identified that do show that there is a high genetic risk of getting rheumatoid arthritis. There are environmental factors reported. So the most strongest evidence we have for environmental risk is smoking. So people who have smoked, the nature of damage has been seen with the smoke inhalation and causing autoimmune activation, mainly in the lungs. That generates the autoimmune pathways and causes damage to the lungs as well as the joints. So we'll talk more about the other organ involvement we see in rheumatoid arthritis. Now, what are the various joints that are affected by rheumatoid arthritis? So starting from top, there's temporomandibular joint involvement. So in the jaw, so 30% of the cases have been reported where jaw bone or jaw joint has been involved. Neck involvement has been seen in 10 to 40% of patients, mainly the first and the second vertebra in the neck. Rest, it spares the rest of the spine, so which is atypical for rheumatoid arthritis to involve the rest of the spine. It can involve the shoulders in 50 to 60%, elbows in 50%, and majority of the joints we see in practice are hands and wrist, as well as feet. So these small joints are affected the most by rheumatoid arthritis, 80 to 90%. But it can also involve the larger joints, including the hips and knees as well. Now, the classic hallmark for rheumatoid arthritis is symmetric joint involvement. So people always present eventually with symmetric involvement of the hands or elbows or feet. And it may start with one joint. It may start with one side, but eventually it does go to the other side because of the systemic nature of the disease. As I mentioned, hands, wrists, feet, and ankles are the most common site of rheumatoid arthritis damage. And the inflammation starts in these small joints, cause a lot of pain and stiffness. People describe early morning stiffness. It takes almost 20 minutes, 30 minutes to limber up, and sometimes more. And it depends upon how severe the disease is, but 30 minutes of stiffness or more has been classically described for inflammatory arthritis conditions. It can cause joint swelling, decreased range of motion, and if inflammation sits there for a long time, it causes cartilage damage as well as deformities, which has been classically defined in rheumatoid arthritis. So these are the pictures on the left side. You can see the location. These are the joints in the middle knuckles, also called proximal interphalangeal joints. We use a terminology PIP. So the middle joints, you can see on the left side of the picture, the swelling of the joints. So, and there is also decreased range of motion. So patient is unable to lay his fingers flat. And on the right side, the middle knuckle, the MCP or the metacarpophalangeal joints where your fingers actually start. So these joints are classically involved in rheumatoid arthritis. So the middle joint and the joints where your fingers start. It spares the distal, the tip of the joints, the tip of the finger joints, that row is spared by rheumatoid arthritis. Now, coming back to the right side, you can see how swollen those knuckles look like. And there is also a deviation, a finger angle you can see on the second arrow on the bottom depicting the fingers turning to the right. So this is classic deformity of rheumatoid arthritis. These pictures are showing an advanced case of rheumatoid arthritis. Now, if we do x-rays in advanced cases, we do see changes because of the inflammation. So we can see the bone density of the bones on the joints has been decreased because of the inflammation. Also we see the chipping of the bone. So if you, on the picture on the right, so the third finger on the right side at the tip of the joint, you can see there is a part of the bone that's missing. And this is because of the inflammation causing chipping of the bones, or we call it bony erosions. And this is classic feature of rheumatoid arthritis or inflammatory arthritis. We do not see that in osteoarthritis. Now, what are the possible complications which rheumatoid arthritis can cause beyond the joints? So since it's an inflammatory arthritis, the body produces, or your immune system produces, a lot of inflammation, and we can detect that through the blood tests. And the immune system beyond the joints can cause damage to the organs. So we do see extra involvement beyond the joints in rheumatoid arthritis. So starting from top to bottom, so there is an IL involvement shown in rheumatoid arthritis, where you have inflammation of the eye structure. The picture depicting inflammation of the middle layer of the eye called uveitis. People can also develop the inflammation of the white structure of the eye. We call it scleritis, or the surrounding structure of the white part of the eye called episcleritis. All these are inflammatory conditions of the eye, which happen to be associated with the systemic inflammation we see in rheumatoid arthritis. So treating rheumatoid arthritis also prevents these organ involvement, which can happen if patients are untreated. There is spine and the neck involvement early. As I mentioned, the cervical vertebra number one and number two, which can also cause the fusion sometimes, and sometimes we see the dislocation. It can generate neck pain, and also patients can have difficulty intubation for any procedure, elective procedure. So when patients get intubated, we put the tube in for help them breathe during procedures, elective procedure where you get general anesthesia. We have to be careful if they have cervical involvement because of rheumatoid arthritis, because of the dislocation can happen if they have advanced arthritis there. Now, we also see lung involvement, as I mentioned earlier in my slides. Smoking, patients who are smokers, they generate an autoimmune response, smoking itself in the lung. But even without smoking, patients who have rheumatoid arthritis do have lung involvement eventually because of the systemic inflammation. They can develop pulmonary fibrosis, which is a scarring of the lung tissue eventually because of inflammation. And sometimes that can lead to patients go on oxygen and difficulty breathing. It can involve heart. So we do see inflammation surrounding the linings of the heart. Most commonly, this picture defining the outside of the outer layer of the heart, inflamed condition called pericarditis. Pericardium is the outer layer of the heart that gets inflamed. People present with chest pain. Sometimes they have shortness of breath while lying down. That gets better when they sit up. And it also causes early coronary artery disease or heart disease because of the inflammation. As this picture depicting, there is a vessel wall inflammation, and that leads to early atherosclerosis or cardiovascular involvement and leading to early heart disease. It can involve the vessels, so it can cause inflammation of the vessels, which we call vasculitis because of rheumatoid arthritis, and it can present like this, where the fingers can get decreased blood supply, and eventually the tissue of the fingers becomes dead because of lack of the blood supply. But all these changes are, again, because of advanced rheumatoid arthritis. Now, how do we diagnose rheumatoid arthritis? There is no single test to diagnose rheumatoid arthritis. A GERD exam, a joint exam, helps to determine what type of arthritis we are dealing with. And we do a lot of blood tests to identify various other causes of inflammatory arthritis. As I mentioned in the earlier slides, different type of inflammatory arthritis. So, and the nature and location of the joints also help in determining the type of arthritis. In patients who have hand involvement, small joints in the hand involvement, swelling of the small joints, feet involvement, they raise red flags of inflammatory arthritis. So diagnostically, we require three or more joints, pain and swelling. The joint pains should be more than 6 weeks, symptoms going on. And the blood work, the more specific blood work we have, there are antibodies called rheumatoid factor or RF. And there is an antibody called anti-CCP antibody. And in addition, we see high inflammation markers called ESR or C-reactive protein or CRP. Now, these are the more specific tests. Out of these antibodies, the anti-CCP antibody is the most specific antibody for rheumatoid arthritis. And we have to rule out other type of arthritis as well based upon the blood work we order. And also we can use x-rays to our advantage in cases that are atypical. As I showed you earlier in my slide, in rheumatoid arthritis or inflammatory arthritis, we tend to see in advanced cases, chipping of the bones or bony erosions. We have another tool in which can help us diagnostically called a musculoskeletal ultrasound, the ultrasound machine which we use generally used to check the baby's baby growth. So that ultrasound, same machine can be used and the probe can be put on the small joints to assess inflammation. We can also see the joint erosions or chipping of the bones. And that can help determine if there is an inflammatory process that's affecting the joints or this is a non-inflammatory cause of joint pains. Now, the clinical course of rheumatoid arthritis, this is an old study from 1995. So they divided the course of clinical course of rheumatoid arthritis in three phases. So type one, which is defined as self-limited, it's a small proportion of rheumatoid arthritis patients, almost 5 to 20%. The blue graph in the picture depicting a minimally progressive form of rheumatoid arthritis. That's also a little bit higher percentage than type one, almost 5 to 20%. And majority of the patients which we see are progressive. So if they tend to have advanced joint damage, joint deformities, and extra joint involvement in terms of organ involvement. And we see that those proportion of those patients around 60 to 90%. Now, what are the treatment options we have to treat rheumatoid arthritis? After we accurately diagnose rheumatoid arthritis, we try to involve patients in the decision-making, what we call shared decision-making. We try to treat the rheumatoid arthritis early on to prevent joint damage and also prevent an organ damage because this is a systemic disease. So we know the nature of the disease that it's in 60 to 90% of patients, it will progress if we don't treat this rheumatoid arthritis. So there are various medicines we have. As a rheumatologist, we are the specialty that specializes in these medicines. There is a role of physical therapy. There is a role of education, support groups, self-care, and in last resort, surgery and advanced joint damage or deformities or loss of function of the joint. We work with our orthopedic colleagues and refer them for surgical options as well. Now, the treatments, medicines, have been broadly classified as anti-inflammatories, disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs, or we call them DMARDs, and lastly, biologics. So I'm going to talk more about these medicines. So anti-inflammatory medicines you probably have heard of are most commonly non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs called NSAIDs, which commonly medicines include ibuprofen, Aleve, Advil, meloxicam. So these are the medicines which we commonly use in milder cases of arthritis, even osteoarthritis or rheumatoid arthritis, to relieve the inflammation and the joint pain. We also use corticosteroids, also known as steroids, glucocorticoids, even cortisone injections. So these are a type of steroid formulation, which we give them as an oral treatment in the form of injection into the joints and sometimes intramuscular in the muscle to decrease the systemic inflammation and help joint recover from the inflammation. Now, the anti-inflammatory, going back to the previous slide, so these are short-term use only. So we do not use them as a long-term treatment because in the long run, they only help to reduce inflammation in a short-term, but long-term, they do not have joint protective effects. And they do not reduce the joint damage and also systemic inflammation, which can affect the organs. So what are the long-term treatments we have to control an overactive immune system, which is attacking you? And so these are the medicines called disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs or DMARDs. And these medicines, the first-line treatments, we use medicines called methotrexate. It comes in oral pills once a week. Multiple pills we prescribe, but again, taken once a week. Leflunomide, this is a once-a-daily medicine. Sulfasalazine, it's an oral medicine. And hydroxychloroquine, or Plaquenil, this is an anti-malarial medicine. So these are the oral treatments. Most of them are oral treatment, except for methotrexate, which also comes in an injectable version as well. These are the first line of treatment, and patients, after we do the blood testing screening, we try to put these medicines on. We also use combination treatment as well in patients who are uncontrolled. For example, we use methotrexate with sulfasalazine. We use methotrexate with hydroxychloroquine. There is a triple therapy used, which includes methotrexate plus sulfasalazine and plus hydroxychloroquine. So every patient is very different in terms of involvement of rheumatoid arthritis. So determining the extent of rheumatoid arthritis in terms of joint involvement, if there is organ involvement, helps to define the treatment. Now, treatments are not easy. So these treatments do have side effects, including GI side effects. So tolerance is a big issue. So we start with a lower dose and slowly increase the dose. There is periodic monitoring of the blood tests. Now we are treating an overactive immune system. So when we treat an overactive immune system, we try to bring this down. So these medicines are considered as immune suppression. Now, immune suppression is we're trying to suppress an overactive immune system so that it becomes a normal. Now, how do we do that? With blood work, we monitor periodic blood work to see how your immune system, how your white cell count is. And also we monitor other things like liver enzymes. Sometimes these medicines can cause inflammation of the liver. So when patients with rheumatoid arthritis do know that the periodic blood monitoring is important. And sometimes in patients who have lung involvement or have a pre-existing liver problem or kidney problem, we adjust gears and try to titrate the treatment that is safer from their pre-existing condition. So a lot goes into tailoring the treatment for the rheumatoid arthritis patients. Now, the newest classification for rheumatoid arthritis is biologic medicines. So these are the most, these are the more famous medicines which you see on TV. So the classification of these medicines is biologics, which means they work on the inflammatory chemicals. So they are very targeted treatment. And the research has showed there are multiple chemicals that are released by your immune system that attacks the joints. So these biologic medicines they work against those chemicals, or they prevent the release of those chemicals, so the joint is not affected by the inflammation or your immune system. So since they are more targeted treatment, they're expensive treatments, and they require also close monitoring as well. So the treatment I'm going to discuss in the first block is called TNF inhibitors. There are five type of TNF inhibitors in infliximab, which we call it Remicade, adalimumab, which is known as Humira, etanercept, which is known as Enbrel, golimumab is Simponi, and citrulizumab is Cimzia. So these are the TNF inhibitors. Some of them are injectable pens, which patient they inject themselves. And some of them are infusion medicines. So the patients go to infusion center, they get these medicines through the vein. Now the next medicine is T cell inhibitor called abatacept. So as you can see, so TNF inhibitors, the first medicine column, these are the medicine, they block the chemical called TNF inhibitor, which produces inflammation. Now, the second medicine inhibits the T cell as well as the combination with the B cell. So the T and B cell are important in generating inflammation, as well as inflammatory chemicals or cytokines. So this medicine called abatacept or Orencia. And the third medicine works on a chemical called interleukin 6 medicines. There are two types of medicines, Actemra and Kevzara. And then a B cell inhibitor, there's a medicine, infusion medicine called rituximab. And then the last column, JAK inhibitors. So this is another chemical, actually a receptor on the cells. So these medicines, Xeljanz or Olumiant, they block those chemicals or receptors to prevent the further damage. So since these are more targeted treatments, we use them, and when we fail the first line of treatment, or the first line of treatment and the oral treatment are contraindicated. Now, surgical options, so patients who have advanced joint damage where you have lost most of the cartilage or the joint function or joint is fused. There is extensive pain and all the treatments have failed. So those patients benefit from joint replacement. Again, this is somewhat a last resort in our field. So we try really hard to control the inflammation, your immune system, and patients who present late or patients who have very bad disease, failed treatments can progress to advanced joint damage because of rheumatoid arthritis. There are other surgical options like tendon correction surgeries, mainly in patients who have bad hand involvement, that the joint structure is so much damaged that the tendons dislocate or subluxate because there is no hingement of the joints. The tendons cannot hinge on the joints because of the advanced destruction of the joints. Excuse me. Now, physical therapy plays a huge and important role with rheumatoid arthritis patients because the joint stiffness and the inflammation does lead to decreased mobility, and it's sort of a vicious cycle where inflammation and stiffness leads to decreased mobility, and because of the decreased mobility, the joint aches because they are dependent upon the nutrition when you move. So the right amount of movement for the joint is necessary and important. You don't want to overdo it either. Now, the picture I'm showing is my slide is it's a therapeutic exercises. So patients can use this therapeutic and can do these exercises for the fingers that helps to maintain the fine motor skills. And these are the various movements which you can do with the fingers that helps to strengthen these joints, also strengthen the tendons and preserve the joint motion and the strengthening. So, and this is for the hands, but for the knees, you know, larger joints, physical therapy is also very, very helpful. Now, what you can do on your part, caring about rheumatoid arthritis in patients who have rheumatoid arthritis. So healthy eating is important. So there are various anti-inflammatory diets available. So if you're eating a lot of red meat your diet consists of a lot of inflammatory foods, there is a role of exacerbation of your disease because of the pro-inflammatory diet if you're taking. So healthy eating helps to reduce those inflammation levels. There are topical treatments which patients use. Voltaren arthritis, it's an anti-inflammatory arthritis cream that has been approved over the counter now. That can help to reduce the inflammation, especially in the small joints of the hands. There are supplements which patients take. There is the supplement called turmeric or curcumin that has been recommended and also endorsed by American College of Rheumatology to use to reduce it, inflammation. Patients also take fish oil or omega-3 fatty acids. So these are the supplements that help to reduce the inflammation. Mainly these are adjunct treatments. So they help to reduce the inflammation and overall reduce the overall dose of rheumatoid arthritis treatment eventually in certain patients. Balancing activity with the rest. So if your joints do hurt, if you after a period of activity, just taking appropriate rest or breaks help to rejuvenate those joints, and having a positive attitude, having a support system helps to overcome some of the challenges, which mostly everybody who has some sort of arthritis do face. Keep yourself active. That's important, as the rheumatoid arthritis, it being a systemic inflammatory arthritis, does cause early heart disease, as I showed you in the previous slide. So, understanding the fact that it does affect the joints, it does reduce your mobility, but trying to find the right amount of movement is important. Patients do use hot and cold treatment to help reduce stiffness, especially in the winters, cold weather, rainy weather, to help reduce the local inflammation. And stress plays a big role in triggering immune systems. So controlling stress and complementary therapies like acupuncture in these treatments, aquatherapy, water therapy, may help also to reduce the inflammation and improve the joint function. Now, there are ease to use products recommended for arthritis patients because of the advanced arthritis. Patients do have difficulty using the joints, and they're unable to do a certain activities which they normally were doing them. So it's very frustrating for the patients to not do or unable to do those activities, which are very the normal activities of daily living. So, but there are things on the pictures you can see, like this, the door holder. So instead of using a pinch action, you can use your hand like this, so you don't put pressure on the thumb joints or these small joints, and these doorknobs, using a modifier on the doorknob, so that if you have difficulty with the advanced wrist arthritis doing this motion, you can use this modifying door handle. And this is a key holder. So as you can imagine, holding a key, sometimes patients with advanced arthritis are unable to do that. So just, you know, trying to put less pressure on the joints helps. So these are the various pictures. The last picture on the slide, it's called paraffin wax. So this I recommend in patients who have advanced hand arthritis to help reduce the stiffness. So this helps. This is helps. So the product has hot water, so you can put your hands in lukewarm water. So it helps to reduce the stiffness, especially in the early mornings. This slide shows, this is the website Arthritis Foundation. So this website has multiple options and for ease to use products on this website. So they do have various options, which if you ever need to use those products, you can look them up. And I would highly recommend visiting this website, Arthritis Foundation. It has a wealth of information, not just for osteoarthritis, not just for rheumatoid arthritis, but for mostly all type of arthritis on this website. There is various sections, including nutrition, what's coming new, what are the treatment options, how people manage on a daily basis with arthritis. So support groups are available also. So arthritis is an emerging problem. So we are diagnosing it more, and also people are living more. So it is, as per CDC, so There is this data showing by 2040, an estimated 78 million, 26% of US adults aged 18 years or older are projected to have doctor-diagnosed arthritis. So the rate is increasing, and so we have to control this arthritis, especially the inflammatory arthritis, and we have to manage the arthritis, especially the osteoarthritis. How can we manage it better and improve the joint function? Now, the treatment goals for rheumatoid arthritis for every rheumatologist. So we try to aggressively treat rheumatoid arthritis early on. And there are multiple studies that show that if we treat them early on and we treat them aggressively by putting the inflammation down, there is a high chance that that you will lead a normal life. You will have a normal joint function, and we are preventing joint damage, joint deformities, and early deaths. So rheumatoid arthritis has been shown to decrease the lifespan by average 7 years. So patients who are on early treatment, who have well-controlled disease, their lifespan is similar to a normal person who does not have rheumatoid arthritis. And we try to control the inflammation. So the goal is no inflammation or minimal inflammation. And we define that state as a remission state. So when the disease is in remission, where you don't see any inflammation, people do fine. People have normal normal joint function and minimal risk of organ involvement as well. And trying to keep it tightly controlled, the inflammation is the key. So if we do see flare-ups, if flare-ups are defined as an episodic increase in inflammation of the joints, and if we do see those flare-ups more frequently, that means that disease or your immune system is not fully controlled. It's still showing evidence of inflammation. So we try to be ahead of the game and try to control this inflammation as early as possible. Now, I do have this video, so I just wanted to show you a little synopsis of rheumatoid arthritis. What are the things we discussed? So it's a nutshell. So I hope you like that.
Rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune disease where a person's immune system attacks and targets the healthy connective tissue surrounding joints in the body. It affects approximately 1% of the population. Rheumatoid arthritis most commonly affects individuals aged between 30 and 60. However, onset can occur at any age. Women have more than double the chance of developing rheumatoid arthritis. Other risk factors include having a close relative with rheumatoid arthritis and smoking. When the immune system attacks the connective tissue surrounding a joint, this causes inflammation. Patients experience swollen, stiff, and painful joints, which can feel warm. Symptoms are worse in the morning and after periods of inactivity. The most common joints affected are the small joints of the hands, feet, and ankles. However, larger joints may also be affected. Symptoms usually occur symmetrically on both sides of the body. This initial inflammation can lead to long-term joint damage and joint deformities, so early management is key. People living with rheumatoid arthritis experience flare-ups of more severe symptoms, which can last for a few days up to a month. Rheumatoid arthritis is mostly managed with medications targeting the immune system, which aim to decrease the inflammation and damage to the joints. Other medications are given for initial symptom relief. However, these do not combat disease progression. Intramuscular injections provide relief from symptoms, especially during flare-ups. If the condition is allowed to progress, it can lead to permanent joint damage consisting of cartilage destruction and bone erosion. Depending on the severity of joint damage, a patient may choose to avail of joint replacement surgery, which serves to ease pain and increase joint mobility. Rheumatoid arthritis is known to cause fatigue. However, keeping active is shown to benefit patients. Regular low impact exercise to strengthen muscles and keep connective tissue healthy, providing better protection against flares.
Oh, these are my references for the talk. And thank you for this presentation. I really am thankful for Judy for arranging this. I will be happy to address the questions. I know this is a recorded event, but I will be happy to address the questions. We'll coordinate this with Judy. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Shukla. It was extremely informative and very, very helpful. And for everybody watching, we'll be providing a form, which you probably will already have when you already see this. So if you do have questions, fill out the form, and in an organized fashion, I will get the questions, Dr. Shukla, and then we will get the answers back out to everybody. So I want to thank everybody for watching, and of course, thank Dr. Shukla and New York Presbyterian for making all of these arrangements. Take care, everyone. Have a wonderful day, and we'll be joining. We're looking forward to having you join us for another presentation. Yes. Dr. Shukla, thank you so much for all of your help.
Thank you.